Welcome to another installment of The Shepherd's Voice with Archbishop Lucas. Archbishop, good to be with you.
Thank you, David. Good to be with you always.
We're here for our February installment here at the beginning of the month. Just a short time, we're going to be beginning the season of Lent. This one we're titling Disconnect and Reconnect, or Disconnect to Reconnect. Maybe we'll put both titles on there. We've been talking recently, you and I, and about the apparent need, a need you see amongst the body of Christ in our larger culture for some conscientious media diet, like a disconnect, like unplugging from certain things. Can you tell us a little bit about what have you been seeing and what have you been hearing?
Sure. I'm not going to encourage we disconnect from all media since we're using some of it right here. But my own experience, and everyone will have their own take on this, but my own experience is that as a group, both inside the church and as a society, we become in a sense overwrought by some of the controversies that have been before us, you know, through the time of the campaign and the election and since. And it occurs to me that very often many people who work in the media, particularly those that present the news or opinion, are really trying to stoke controversy. And controversy often leads to division. In the best of times, people with different or opposing ideas can have reasonable arguments and discussions and maybe come to a point of greater understanding. But very little of that is being offered. In fact, it seems to me that there are a fair number of people making their living in media outlets, making their money by stoking controversy and division and upset among people. And I run into this all the time. There's sort of a level of anxiety and seems like so many of us are poised just to be ready to disagree with something or someone, mm-hmm. or even worse, to out of a lack of respect, to think less of someone or to even think of someone else as the enemy because he or she might have an idea that's different from my own. This isn't the same thing as saying everybody should think the same way so we could all be nice to one another, or that we should just agree with wrong ideas so that we don't have any controversy. But the level of anxiety is not healthy. The anger, the disrespect, and the division, which I always read as somehow the work of the devil. It's not really good for us individually. It's not good for us in the church. So my hope is, I'm going to try it myself and encourage others that during the season of Lent, we could perhaps fast from politics, fast from the controversy, fast from some of the media, which is really set up to stoke controversy and upset and anxiety in us.
I've noticed this the last however many years. A number of years, a section of my friends on social media platforms will post something on Fat Tuesday, usually like a black square, going dark for 40 days, you know, see you on the other side. So it's not an uncommon thing to see. But it seems like, you know, in light of what you're talking about, the cultural currents that I think we're all aware of, we've been swimming in recently, and not just even in the past year, but I think certainly exacerbated by recent circumstances. There's a need then to really sift things. I think that's the hard part. Because, you know, so some people will say, okay, I'm just going to shut things off. That can be good. But it seems like the harder work, or maybe the more, like the work that is for Lent and beyond, is to ask, why am I connected to this thing, this media source, or do I feel the compulsion to go check, you know, refresh that page multiple times a day? Do I find it happy? You know, it's kind of like am I using the tool or is the tool using me? I think this is part of the drama that we're in this age where we're so media saturated, mm-hmm. That maybe a lot of us haven't even begun to ask that question out loud. Like, oh, wait, why am I going back to this place? What am I looking for?
It's a little bit like a drug, I think, and there are those who are interested in pushing drugs on us, mm-hmm. so that we do become more attached or feel you know, that we have to have more, or we have to know something, or we have to know it before somebody else, or we have to get our opinion in about something without really thinking or reflecting. Mm-hmm. It's a question that we often ask at the beginning of Lent about our possessions or about other practices. You know, do I possess my things, or do my things possess me? Mm-hmm. which is why at the beginning of the Lenten season, we are encouraged to fast or to give up some things which may not be bad in themselves, and which over the long haul, we're not going to do completely without. Mm-hmm. But it helps us to be able to know this much about ourselves, to know, well, okay, I know how to use social media. I know how to take in a lot of information from the news and from other places. Do I know how to not do those things? Can I live without them, in other words? Am I constitutionally incapable of doing without some things to my detriment? You know, I'm making sort of an inflated case here, but we'll talk in a little bit about what we want to connect to. So the fasting or the giving up some of these things that are part of the world around us, it's not simply to create a void. Mm-hmm. But it is a moment, I think, to ask ourselves, is this really healthy?
Right.
And does a steady diet of the news and of the controversy, particularly some of the larger controversies in the country, am I simply soaking all that in without really being able to have much of an influence on it over the long run, even the short run, certainly? Is that really good for me? And is it good for anybody else? You know, is it helping me become the person that's really going to have a good influence and bring the light and the love of Jesus Christ and of the gospel to the relationships that are important to me and the people over whom I do have influence? Or is this somehow getting me caught up in a drama that's not good for me and that's being staged somewhere else and promoted in a way that involves me emotionally, but doesn't add to my own welfare or allow me to bring something good for the welfare of the people around me.
Right. There's something Jesus says about knowing the truth, that it will, what's the word? Set us free, I think. Right. So, you know, cause I hear sometimes people are like, well, you've got to be up to the minute. You've got to stay in the know because otherwise what? You know, there's always a sort of an implicit like apocalypse is going to happen if you don't stay abreast of everything.
Well, and often what goes with it is you've got to be up to the minute so that you can be indignant about something.
Right, exactly.
So that you can, you know, be able to speak out against something. But that speaking out rarely gets to the person or the place where whatever is happening. Mm-hmm. And so it's in some ways it's empty, but it does sort of churn up emotions, maybe even anger, within me that sticks with me. It kind of creates an odor, you know, and I mm-hmm. take that with me into other situations, other relationships,
or homes,
ways that are, you know, not helpful and not constructive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, it's part of the. It's exhausting. I mean, people talk about this all the time. If you've seen the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, just it talks about, you know, how these tools are designed and how they tend toward manipulation or have, you know, I'm not just trying to demonize social media here. This is there for the world to see, you know, the studies on the effects on mental health are myriad at this point. But really just on the, I guess in layman's terms, on the basic level of our experience, we can all ask, yeah, do I find myself glued to a screen or I find these things, you know, pulled out of me that end up exhausting me in a way that isn't healthy for those other people around me who are in my care, who are in my sphere of influence, such that I've spent maybe I've maybe spent my moral energy, moral and emotional energy swinging at the images. And then what's left?
The things that the Lord really gives me to be responsible for and the people over whom I can have a good influence, I'm spent, as you say.
Yeah, that's kind of
it. I have nothing left for them.
Yeah.
Except maybe residual anger or resentment that has nothing to do with them, but that they get touched by.
Right. And you know, so we're not saying put your head in the sand, like, you know, just ignore everything, but
fast a little.
Fast. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Give it up for a while. And I don't mean to be flippant, but, you know, if there's something really important going on that I need to know or run from or whatever, somebody will tell me.
Right.
So, you know, I really don't have to have the television on, have some news channel going all the time, or continually be checking a blog or social media. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of bad news there, mm-hmm. or at least it's expressed that way. And too much bad news is depressing. It's aggravating. It's been aggravated more in recent months by the toxic campaign and time of the election. So as a bishop, I join my brother bishops in the country in encouraging people to be informed about elections and to form our consciences and to vote. But now the election's over and we live with the consequences. Doesn't mean we acquiesce to everything, you know, in our minds and hearts that right. someone may do or propose. But at this moment, we're about as far away from the presidential elections as we can get in terms of the, you know, approaching the next one. So that's why I'm proposing this. This could be a good time just to lay off mm-hmm. all of that, you know, having encouraged people mm-hmm. to be involved and to make good choices and to do our best. Let's lay off of it for a while and put that all in the Lord's hands while we've got it up, while we put it on hold and believe that that life and things in Washington can go on yeah. without my necessarily following them minute by minute.
Yeah. And see what happens in us.
Well, and that really is the point. It's not that I don't care about the country, but I care about myself and I care about our listeners, care about us more, you know, our flourishing,
yeah.
you know, in God's design for us. But we can't live on Mars. We have to live in the world that we're living in. And there are these things going on around us. But it's not the sum total of life. Hmm. So we've been, can those who push news and controversies at us would like us to think that the only thing that's part of our life or our culture is politics. And if that's the case, we're in a very impoverished culture. As a matter of fact, we have families, we have relationships, we have our local communities, we have music, we have art, we have education, we have any number of good things that we can participate in and actually bring something to ourselves to influence for good. Politics is a thing, and it's important, but it's not the only thing.
Amen. I dare say what you described, all those different categories of life, or what we could like package together and call a culture of life. Mm-hmm. It's in all of those avenues. One of the things that we talked about, so we want to disconnect from the perpetual outrage machine, mm-hmm. not serve that machine. And we desire, people have expressed this desire a lot, and I think it's implicitly suggested in the, you know, the tiredness, the fatigue, the Zoom fatigue, you know, the people that have been struggling this past year with circumstances of the pandemic and social distancing and all that. There's a lot of, you know, people have a lot of reason to be depressed. There's a lot of depression going around.
It's been a grind for a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, you know, we're not out of the woods just yet. It's not like everything's just going to turn over, but you know, we have signs of hope that it will in the near term. But, one of the areas that you said you've been talking with your brother bishops about inviting people to rediscover, reconnect around the Eucharistic table, maybe around the dining room table, but in some way that recognizes the shared identity in Jesus Christ. And these are connected to the, you know, these two ideas of disconnecting from the noise and reconnecting to what gives life and where your life actually is generated.
So one of the exhortations at the beginning of Lent traditionally is turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. So not that the things that I've been describing are all sinful in themselves necessarily, but I will stick to my position that they're not all good for us and the quantities in which we've been consuming them. But we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that in our life in Him that we experience together in the church, we do begin to find a place of flourishing in this world, and then we're invited to the full life that is God's desire for us if we will receive it. But if our lives, hearts, minds are cluttered with too much information, controversial or not, too many ideas, emotions that will not save us, then there isn't room for the beautiful gifts that the Lord is offering. Primarily the gift of Himself, there's not room for us to take that in and receive it. Hmm. So it's the positive side, you might say, of our Lenten practice. So we fast and empty ourselves a little, come before the Lord a little humble and impoverished, and then allow Him to fill us with what only He can give. So if we're fasting from some things, we can maybe indulge in reading the Scripture. We can indulge in studying our faith, being part of a small group where we can discuss our faith in Jesus Christ with others, pray together, fill our time and our attention and put our confidence in the one who is given to us by our Heavenly Father as our Savior. We're not saved by a political party. We're not saved by a political theory, no matter how good it might be. We're saved by Jesus Christ only, and we meet him in our life in the church. As you mentioned, I had a conversation recently with Bishop Hanifeld and Bishop Conley, my brother bishops here in Nebraska, about the situation we find ourselves in at the beginning of Lent. So mm-hmm. we still are somewhat restricted in terms of the effects of the pandemic and don't have an obligation on the faithful of the church to participate in Mass on Sundays. We don't think, given our present circumstances, that this is the moment to reinstitute the obligation. At the same time, we decided it would be good, and I want to express this now, that that this is the time, the beginning of Lent, to invite all of our Catholic people to think about how can I take a step in the direction of my parish church, not simply, you know, get a little closer than a mile away, but really come to the church. So many people have not been celebrating Mass on the weekend. Sometimes people have been coming during the week as a way of connecting with the Lord in the Eucharist. But I really invite anybody who's hearing me, I'm issuing the invitation then at the beginning of the season of Lent for all of our Catholic people to reconnect with your parish in an important way during the coming days. So even though there isn't the obligation to attend Mass on Sunday, I really encourage you to go to church for something that you feel drawn to or in a setting where you would feel comfortable. So there is Mass, of course, on the weekends, and our parishes have done a great job to create a physical atmosphere that's safe, where we can be at a respectful distance from each other, and the hospitality, the reception of communion, that's all been designed to help us be safe. There still will be some people in the coming weeks who really are better off staying home because of their own situation, and that's perfectly understandable. But there are many who are involved in a lot of other activities and who could begin to look towards the participating in Sunday Mass as the most important activity of the week. For those who don't feel comfortable, think it might be too crowded on Sundays, there are lots of Masses scheduled in every area of the diocese during the week. The Lenten readings and prayers are very beautiful to help us enter into the season at Mass. Parishes will also be celebrating the Stations of the Cross, so there's another opportunity to at least come to the church. Mm-hmm. There will be times of adoration. Our churches are unlocked for most of the day in most places, and so there's the opportunity to just come in and have a quiet time of prayer with the Lord. Come with your family or come by yourself. That opportunity is available. There might be small group opportunities for scripture or for prayer in your parish. The point is, I'm encouraging us to sort of fast and sort of block out some things in our lives, but also to allow ourselves to be enriched by some opportunities that are right before us. It's a temptation for any of us, you know, to take our faith for granted. And for a number of our people, it's been going on a year since we've been regularly together at Mass. Mm-hmm. So I can encourage you who are listening to think for yourself and for others in your household, how might we come back to the parish during the coming weeks of Lent to turn away from the clutter and the noise of the world, from the things that won't save us, and to consciously choose Jesus, to consciously choose to listen to him and to receive what it is that he's offering, however we feel like we can take the first step to do that. Our parishes are going to be doing all they can to invite those who may not have been around for a while to come back. But I really want you to hear that invitation from me and that encouragement from me. We'll see then how that goes. And as we get closer to Easter, we'll see what the rate of vaccination is, what the rate of infection is, and how, you know, we might make the case for coming together for Mass at Easter. But it's too early to know that right now. But I do know there's room for you already and during the coming weeks in a variety of ways. And it would be great for all of us if we could not only show our face in our parish churches, but really ourselves make ourselves available to receive what the Lord wants to offer us.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Archbishop. And one of the things that strikes me as a simple move, and I know with some of our confreres here at the Chancery, I've been running some trainings on leading small groups during Lent under the banner of Live Lent Together. And it's kind of a nod to the fact that there's been so much distancing over the last year, and now, you know, there's an opportunity to come together in small groups, even if it's over Zoom or what have you, with whatever format works for your situation, to come together. But whether you're in that formal small group or another one of your own making, the other part of that is to say, this is not a solo project. Christianity is not a solo project. So it's come back to the parish in some way. If you're not sure, is there someone you can call? Can you reach out to one other person and begin praying with them in the, you know, who's from your parish? Can you look for a time to go to confession? Like all of those, as you mentioned, are opportunities that we can put into the laboratory of our lives, right? We can test this out. So we disconnect from the stuff we're pretty sure isn't helping us. And if we take a step again, as you said it beautifully, to reconnect to Christ, what happens? Test these 40 days. What's going to happen?
Taste and see.
Yeah.
Taste and see that the Lord is good, as the scripture says. Yeah, it isn't, Christianity isn't meant to be a solo project. And really for any of us, our zeal, our energy to live as disciples of Jesus, that peters out if we don't have the encouragement of the community, if we don't have the encouragement of the scriptures, of the sacraments. The Lord has invited us to a challenging life as his followers and his friends, but then he gives us everything that we need to be able to do it. And there have been good reasons why a number of people have not been able to come regularly to Mass or to the sacraments. But I, as a pastor, begin to worry that some of us may be starving and that our own faith and zeal might be petering out, even without our noticing it, because it does for everybody. So I think none of us should think, well, I'm the exception. It can happen to anyone. So our parishes are here for you. As we do every Lent, there are a number of opportunities that are offered to grow in faith, to encounter the Lord. Certainly the Eucharist, the Sacrament of Reconciliation, those are very personal encounters with Jesus. We do meet him perhaps in small groups. As we share our faith, we meet him when we study the scriptures together, meditate on the scriptures before we come to Mass or to pray together. So there just are a lot of opportunities beyond the live streaming of the Masses, which have been a real blessing to us. I'm so glad we've been able to do that. I hear from all people of all ages who still feel connected very much to their parishes, grateful that parishes have been reaching out to them, offering this opportunity. We're going to continue to do that for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. But really pray about how you might take a step into the church, into the building over the time of Lent. Plan for it, schedule it, and then allow the Lord to give you what only he can give.
Amen. Well, thank you, Archbishop, for this encouragement, for the invitation, for the reminder, because I know we need it. I know I need it. I certainly need it every Lent, but I think I need it more often than that as well. So thank you for the shepherding, and we'll keep all of our listeners in our prayers as they begin this journey again.
Yeah, let's all pray for one another. This is the acceptable time for us to turn away from the things that won't save us and to turn to the Lord. He's waiting. He's giving us all the grace that we need for a fruitful Lent. So we'll pray for one another and move together towards the joy of Easter.
Amen. God bless everybody. Thank you, Archbishop.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice, a podcast of the Archdiocese of Omaha. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.